Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Network Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service and public interest on your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review was heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on food irradiation when we come back. In 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. Today, it's down to less than 38 days. Now, we Americans produce grain for export. Then, we import our grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. Our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support the Global 2000 Population Reduction Program. This globalization may be good for business, but globalization is bad for you and it's bad for me. Back in 1940, we all had a pantry full of food to feed our families for a year or more. Today, we have a three-day food supply in our refrigerators, and we believe in our supermarket system of just-in-time delivery to feed us all. But over the past 60 years, we've traded a one-year food supply for 3 days. You really think that's very wise? And these Global 2000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, plague, disease, and pestilence to reduce the Earth's population by 90%, so they tell us, over the next 50 years through the Club of Rome. And these evil madmen with their Global 2000 genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause and let you and I live for ours. Let me show you from the scripture how to be a live survivor instead of a dead victim. If you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. Call right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, my subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to the website georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request for that free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about this thing of food irradiation. We looked at 17 subjects that the FDA has raised, common subjects. You know, they want to sell us a product, they want to sell us a irradiated hamburger. So they asked the question, what is food irradiation? And which foodborne diseases could be prevented with irradiation? And what is the actual process of irradiation? And then there's 17 of those questions. And then in answer to those questions, a consumer group, Stop Food Irradiation Project Home, it's a rebuttal of the FDA pamphlet and promotes, or that promotes rather, food irradiation. These people are opposed to the irradiated food. Now remember, they ask us the question, this is the promoters of the irradiation process. They said, well, why does your food need to be irradiated? And it needs to be irradiated because it's got feces in it. You just can't get any plainer than that. And that feces has bacteria, E. coli, and all kinds of other bad germs, bad bacteria. And so we need to kill the bacteria. Now, there's another thought that probably nobody has thought of yet. Could we produce clean meat, clean food? That's a wild new idea. Produce clean food that does not need to be irradiated because there aren't any harmful pathogens in it. We did this with milk back about the turn of the century, 1900. We had a problem with the milk supply. The typhoid and cholera and other infectious diseases, TB, was being spread in the milk. Now, milk is a wonderful vehicle for spreading disease. There's just no two ways about it. So the question came up, well, should we clean up the milk supply so that we've got clean, wholesome milk, or should we pasteurize it? So all of the dairymen and all of the milk suppliers and handlers and all the people involved in the milk supply said, let's not clean it up. That's too much work. We don't want to produce clean milk. We want to produce dirty milk, and then we want to pasteurize that dirty milk to kill the harmful bacteria, and then the people can drink the dirty milk with the dead, harmful bacteria, but the harmful bacteria will be dead. And that's the process that we've used ever since. That's one of the reasons why I don't drink pasteurized milk. It's a dirty product. It's a dirty product because it's filled with disease organisms. Mad cow disease is now one of those organisms that you got to be concerned about in the milk supply. So now we have industrialized the meat packing industry, or the meat growing industry. We have these humongous feedlots with 10, 20, 50, 100,000 animals in one of these enclosed areas. And this is an industrialized farm. We have industrialized meat packing and meat growing, and then we send those cattle into this factory. You know, it's a big factory. Now, it used to be we had butchers, and the butcher would take a cow and he'd kill it and he'd cut it up and put it in his case and he'd sell that. And he sold clean beef. And he just killed one at a time. But when you've got hundreds of people working in an industrial plant, you know, you can't keep control over the people that pick their nose and the people that scratch their butts and then go to the bathroom, don't wash their hands, and come back out onto the factory line and start working with the meat that you're going to eat. And so it spreads disease. It's got feces in the meat. And so they said, well, what we know to do now is we got to clean it up. So irradiation is the solution. That's what we're going to do. And it makes all the sense in the world. I don't deny that. From the point of view of the Swift packing plant or Hormel or from the point of view of Mid-America Dairies, et cetera, we don't want to clean up the milk supply and spend a lot of money doing that. What we want to do is we want to industrialize this process. And we got to have a Hail Mary that comes in here, a magic cross that solves our problem. And irradiation is going to solve that problem. And shortly, all of the hamburger and all of the chicken in America is going to be irradiated. So when I go to buy chicken now, what I have to do is go over here to the local, there's a local guy here, I think he's a Mennonite, and he raises chickens, organic chickens, free-range organic chickens. And I go over there and I buy 2 dozen chickens from him and come back and put them in my freezer. He'll cut them and package them and do the whole 9 yards. And he's a little guy. See, he just has a few thousand chickens. Him and his family take care of it. It's the way they make their living. And they charge more money. See, I can't buy them as cheap as I can buy them at Town and Country, but I can buy clean chicken that has not been, you know, buried in feces while they've got some machine gouging away at the guts and ripping them out of the carcass and spreading the feces all over the carcass and in the tank. And then they dunk this chicken down in this tank full of guts and feces and bring it back out again. And then, yeah, I can understand why they've got disease in there. This guy doesn't do that. I can remember when I was a kid, I worked on a chicken ranch or chicken farm, and we butchered chickens, and we had a butcher plant in there. And it was all stainless steel and kind of neat and clean, and we'd bring in, we could kill about 300 chickens in a day. So we'd bring in 300, and we'd kill the 300 chickens, and then we'd pluck them, and then we'd put them in the cooler and cool them. Then the next day, we'd come in there and cut them all up, and we'd cut all the legs off and throw them in a pile and all the thighs off and put them in a pile, and then all the breasts and necks, and everything was in its pile. And then you go through, and you pull them out, you know, you put 2 legs in this package and 2 thighs in the package and so on down the line. Not necessarily that you got the same thigh and the same leg and the same breast off the same chicken, but you got 2 thighs, two drumsticks and 1 breast and so on. And it was a very clean sanitary operation. And we were very careful when we eviscerated the chickens that we did not puncture the guts so that we got the mess all over the chicken. I mean, that was a no-no. You don't do that. Now in these industrialized plants, they don't care how much chicken manure gets all over the meat. They dunk the whole chicken down in big tanks, feathers and guts and the whole 9 yards. And it's a dirty, fetid, polluted mess. It's fast, it's cheap, it's efficient, but it's a dirty, polluted mess. And it spreads disease. And so now the solution is we'll irradiate all the meat. Well, as we found out last time, it ruins the meat. It creates free radicals. It is a health hazard. It promotes disease. But we're going to trade the infectious disease for cancer, muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, degenerative disease. In other words, what we're doing is we're going to get rid of the infectious diseases like salmonella, and we're going to trade it for a degenerative disease like cancer. It's a choice that we have to make, but it's a choice that I've made, and I'm not going to eat it. And I thought I would give you a report and let you know what the people that are criticizing or the critics of this irradiation product process are telling you, and then you can make your decision and you can decide what you want to do. Now, do irradiated foods cost more? Well, irradiated products cost slightly more than their conventional counterparts. Some industry experts estimate the cost at 2 to 3 cents higher per pound for fruits and vegetables, 3 to 5 cents higher per pound for meat and poultry products. These costs may be offset by advantages such as keeping a product fresh longer and enhancing its safety. Food trade groups say that as irradiation becomes more common, the cost is likely to drop. The OCA comment is, irradiated ground beef in Minnesota has recently sold for up to $1.50 a pound, more than non-irradiated beef. Nobody has a crystal ball, but we can be sure that as long as irradiated food can be promoted as better than non-irradiated food, the price will be as high as the traffic will bear. Well, when you talk about food, now, when we buy food that's non-irradiated, organic, and grown on like free-range chickens, it costs us more. We pay more for organic produce and organic chickens and so on. We buy at the health food store, so I'm not complaining about the price. And if you have to choose between dirty chicken meat and dirty chicken meat that has been irradiated, I guess the trade-off is probably worth it. I mean, think about it. Did you want to get salmonella and die? Did you want to get food poisoning or some other infectious disease? Or would you rather eat the irradiated chicken or hamburger and then die later, 20, 30 years later from cancer or something? It's a choice that you make. The trade-off actually might be worth the extra money. Next question over here is, both the electron beam and gamma ray technologies used today are safe. The electron beam facilities, like the one at the Iowa State University, use an electron generator to produce a stream of high-energy electrons to form the electron beam. E-beam technology has been used for the last 15 years. The technology to produce gamma rays used cobalt-60 or cesium-137. Both are radioactive materials that do not give off neutrons. That means that this material does not make anything around it radioactive. This technology has been used routinely for more than 30 years to sterilize medical, dental, and household products. The OCA comment. Gamma ray facilities, which use nuclear materials, are inherently unsafe. There have been numerous spills and leaks of radioactive material and worker exposures from irradiation facilities worldwide. The statement that this technology is used routinely is irrelevant. Are irradiated foods available? Well, irradiated food is becoming widely available. Some stores have sold irradiated fruits and vegetables since the early 1990s. Irradiated meat is available in some grocery stores and on menus in a few restaurants. Some spices are also irradiated to control pests. The OCA comment. Well, because irradiated food that is sold in restaurants is not labeled to the consumer, no one would accept the packer knows how much irradiated meat or poultry is actually being sold. Companies that produce over 75% of the United States 9 billion pounds per year of ground beef and approximately 50% of the nearly 35 billion pounds a year of poultry have already signed agreements to use irradiation technology. Ground beef and chicken will be the most commonly irradiated foods. Pretty shortly, you will have irradiated chicken and hamburger as a routine, and probably your state legislature will come in and mandate it, you know, for the health, safety, and welfare of the public. So beware that when you buy chicken out of the store, that it's probably been irradiated. And when you buy hamburger, whether you get it at the hamburger joint or whether you buy it in a package out of the supermarket, it's probably irradiated. You might want to seek a more reliable and a better source. Now, what kind of a machine irradiates food? Well, in electron beam irradiation, food is irradiated by a machine called a linear accelerator. A linear accelerator generates electrons similar to a television tube that are accelerated, bent, and scanned over the product. No radioactive material is used. Iowa State University houses a commercial-sized electron beam irradiator in the linear accelerator facility pilot plant. The machine is similar to those used throughout the country to irradiate food products and medical products. Food also can be irradiated through a process using gamma rays produced by a safe radioactive source such as cobalt. Another process is being developed using X-rays to irradiate food. The OCA comment on this statement is, nuclear materials are inherently unsafe. The unnamed nuclear material, such as cobalt, is cesium-137. It's a byproduct of nuclear energy production. It is much more toxic and has a longer half-life than cobalt-60. The U.S. Department of Energy has pushed for food irradiation for 20 years in order to sell off their pile of dangerous cesium-137. If E-beam irradiation paves the way, cobalt-60 and cesium-137 will be used for food irradiation because the energy source is not listed on the label. In addition, electron beams can only be used for thin, evenly sized foods like burger patties. Larger foods like whole turkeys must be irradiated with either X-rays or gamma rays from nuclear material. If irradiation is popularly accepted, the Department of Energy will be only too happy to supply cesium-137 at cut-rate prices to irradiate foods. Furthermore, meat that is treated by an E-beam accelerator receives the radiation equivalent to 1.4 billion television sets. Well, you know, this fluoride years ago was a deadly poison. It was a byproduct of the aluminum industry, and they had a problem with that. Now, what are we going to do with all of this fluoride? So they came up with a solution. Now, let's sell it to people, put it in our water supply. Not only can we get rid of it without having to pay, we can actually get paid for getting rid of this toxic byproduct. So they sold it to us, and they put it in our water supply. That's why I don't drink city water. Of course, most people look at me and they say, you know, you're some kind of a right-wing conspiratorial nut, you know that? But, you know, as old as I am, I don't wear glasses, and as old as I am, I don't need a hearing aid, and as old as I am, I can still put in a day's work. And I'm not screwed up with cancer, heart attack, muscular dystrophy, or some other degenerative disease. I pointed out to you, I think, a time or two here that in 1918, 60% of Americans were healthy, 40% had symptoms of something. Today, it's 99% are sick with some kind of a disease or symptoms, only 1% are healthy. I'm one of that 1%. Now, I'm not going to buy into this program because everybody else does, because it's popular, because it's cheaper. I'm going to eat clean, wholesome food, and that's why I'm bringing this to your attention. I don't know what you want to eat. You can make that decision for yourself. I don't need to tell you what to do. You just need the information. And once you get the information, you make a decision, and then you live with the decision, as my old granny used to say. You made your bed, sweetheart, and I'll go sleep in it. So when somebody's sick and they've got rheumatism, arthritis, cancer, or some other disease, I look at them and I sympathize with them. I'm not totally cold-hearted. But you've got to remember, boys and girls, that when you come down with cancer or some degenerative disease, when you get sick, you brought it on yourself. You stuck that into your mouth. I didn't. Nobody's knocking you to the ground and forcing your mouth open and force-feeding this down your throat, you know. You make those decisions. You make those choices. You go into the supermarket. You spend your money voluntarily. You walk out. You take it home. You eat it. I mentioned to you, I think, last time, I've been in the local supermarkets. I go in there every once in a while. Sometimes I want to buy a little ketchup, or I want to buy a jar of pickles or something, you know. And I haven't been able to find anything in the supermarket that's fit for human consumption. And now they're telling me that they're going to irradiate all the hamburger, irradiate all of the chicken. They're already irradiating everything that comes out of Hawaii. 40 countries in the world are now irradiating food to some degree. And now what they're telling us is that they want to make this mainstream, you know, kind of like fluoride in the water. We're going to have irradiated food. I don't know what that's going to do to us. I don't know what the ultimate outcome is going to be. Neither does anybody else. Nobody's ever run any tests. I don't want to be the guinea pig. I want you to be the guinea pig. I want to watch you. I want you to take the thalidomide and then let me watch you and see what happens. So I'm going to watch you people for the next 30 years. And if you can eat irradiated food over the next 30 years with no ill effects, I'm going to stand back and say, I am convinced. Now I too will eat irradiated food. But I want you to go out there and pioneer that for me, would you? You get out there and show me how it's done. Now, what foods can be irradiated? Meat, grains, fruits and vegetables, dehydrated fruits and vegetables, spices, seasonings, and other non-food uses for irradiation include sterilizing medical products such as surgical gloves, destroying bacteria and cosmetics, and purifying wool. OCA comment is this. In addition to the above list, shell eggs were approved by the FDA in 2001 for irradiation. A coalition of food industry groups has asked the FDA to approve luncheon meats, prepared fresh foods, such as salad bar items, seeds, fresh juices, sprouts, and frozen foods. The FDA hasn't ruled yet, but they will probably use the same science as 15 years ago to approve these foods. And if they approve, the only common foods not approved for irradiation would be seafood, dairy foods, which are pasteurized, honey, coffee, chocolate, and oils. Fats become rancid easily because of the free radical creation, so they won't be irradiated if they could be eaten raw. Baked goods and dried legumes don't need irradiation, and that's about it. Most of our diet could be irradiated in the near future. So tuck that one away in your heart, and then you start by developing a food supply. Now, if you have to start out on day one, when everything is irradiated, to find a food supply that isn't, that's going to be a formidable task. But if you start off one item at a time, where do you get your chicken? How much chicken a year do you use? So once you figure out how much chicken you use, then you go out and you find yourself a chicken supply. As I pointed out here, we have a local Mennonite guy that does it. We can get chicken from the Mennonite man over in West Plains, and you can buy 12, 24, or 36 chickens at a time. Stick them in your freezer. See how simple that is? And there's your poultry supply. Now, your beef supply. Why don't you find some farmer that's producing grass-fed beef? Just walk up to the guy and say, I would like to buy a steer from you. Would you kill one, butcher it, cut it, and wrap it for me? He might say, no, I don't want to butcher it and cut it and wrap it, but there's a local guy in town that'll do it. Go talk to the local guy in town and see what kind of a deal you can make with him. Then you buy the cow from the farmer, send it into the meat processor. The meat processor kills it, cuts it, wraps it, quick freezes it for you, and puts it in the box, and you bring it home, stick it in your freezer. Now you've got your poultry and your beef supply. Now let's concentrate on fruits and vegetables. Where do you get those? And so on down the line. Pretty soon, you know, you can clean up your food supply, and you can stop eating this dirty crap that they're selling you in the supermarket, and you can have clean, wholesome, nutritious food. It's a wild new concept. Now, where can I get more information? Well, more information about food irradiation and the Linear Accelerator Facility at Iowa State University is available online at www.extension.iastate.edu food safety. If you'd like to request irradiation services, then contact the ISU Meat Lab at 515-294-6329. So if you want to buy more of this irradiated food, or you want to irradiate your food, call the university. I'm sure that there's more information. I've got a bunch more here in front of me. I'm going to share it with you as we progress along. And all of these articles came off of the World Wide Web. And I just called into my boy Dirk, and I said, hey, Dirk, let's do a series on irradiated food. Run in there and see what's going on in the world of irradiation or irradiated food. And he came back out here with 13 articles. 13. I won't get to all 13 of them here, but I'm gonna cover 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 or whatever I can get in here in this series of program. Now, there was one here. Did you notice they mentioned eggs? This is from Rents, R-E-N-S-E.com. Just go to www.rents.com. Just what we need. Irradiated eggs are coming. Washington, D.C., 72600. Now, this is an old article. This is back here, you know, 5 years ago. Public citizen is formally challenging the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's decision to legalize the use of high-level radiation to treat eggs, although the FDA is allowing flour, spices, vegetables, fruit, poultry, pork, and beef to be irradiated, despite the well-documented negative side effects of this process. So what I'm bringing to your attention are these well-documented negative side effects to this process. Now, the All-American Breakfast is quickly becoming the All-Irradiated Breakfast, said Winona Hodder, Director of Public Citizens Critical Mass Energy and Environment Program. The FDA's decision is not only scientifically irresponsible, but it is an insult to Americans who expect to wake up in the morning to a fresh, wholesome meal. The FDA unveiled Friday in the Federal Register a regulation legalizing the irradiation of eggs, effective immediately. In response, Public Citizen is asking the FDA both to delay implementing the new regulation and to hold a public hearing on it. Among other problems, some of which the FDA acknowledged in its register notice, irradiated eggs are deficient in vitamin A and niacin, are aesthetically displeasing and difficult to cook with, and they contain potentially dangerous levels of free radicals, that is, chemical compounds that react with and weaken cell membranes. Irradiated eggs also can disrupt the interaction between proteins and enzymes that are essential for proper blood flow, digestion, and other biological bodily functions, studies show. Moreover, irradiation serves to mask the wretched conditions in which chickens are raised in today's factory farms, while creating opportunities for salmonella bacteria to mutate, perhaps into hardier strains. Karen Davis, the president of the United Poultry Concerns and Agricultural Practices Accountability Group, based in Macapungo, Virginia, also denounced the FDA's decision. Once again, we have a concession by our government in collusion with the agriculture industry to ignore husbandry and to embrace technological interventions that are being used to dazzle the public as a substitute for cleaning up filthy environments. Food irradiation carries numerous side effects. The process destroys nutrients, spawns free radicals that make the body more susceptible to cancer and diabetes. It masks filthy slaughterhouse practices, and it forms carcinogens such as benzene and formaldehyde. In 50 years of research conducted worldwide, laboratory animals fed irradiated food have suffered premature death, cancer, reproductive and immune problems, liver and kidney dysfunction, low birth weight, nutritional muscular dystrophy, chromosomal damage, and other serious problems. The FDA officials have ignored these problems, relying instead on questionable research, some of which never has been translated into English, that has obscured the well-documented hazards of exposing food to radiation. Now, I mentioned to you last time there were 441 major experiments done with this irradiated food. They took 7 positive results and used those 7 and ignored the other, 434. Boys and girls, that's not science, that's propaganda. That's sales. That's what they're intending to do, is to sell you the product without giving you full disclosure. If you had all the facts, you probably wouldn't eat irradiated food. So I'm just going to give you some of those facts right here. The request to irradiate eggs was made by Edward Josephson, who during the 60s and 70s oversaw the U.S. Army's Food Irradiation Headquarters in Massachusetts, where dozens of studies revealed serious health problems in laboratory animals that ate irradiated food, including premature death and cancer. Currently, Josephson's research is being underwritten by MDS Nordian, an Ottawa-based company with links to a Canadian government agency responsible for the proliferation of nuclear technology to China, India, and Pakistan. So there's the story on irradiated eggs. So the eggs that you're buying in your supermarket are probably irradiated. You might want to ask and find out, or you might want to seek out a local supplier. I've discovered that there are lots of people around me here that have a backyard bunch of chickens. And here's what happens when you got a backyard bunch of chickens like I do here. I've got about 60 chickens out here. Starting about next March, they're going to start laying again, and I'm going to have more eggs than I know what to do with. But I don't have enough eggs to waste my time going out and selling them. You know what I mean? But I'd have enough eggs here for probably 5 or 6 families during March, April, May, June, July, August, September. And then they start drying up. I mean, they don't lay as many eggs. And so October, November, you know, they'll be down to where they are now. I get an egg every now and again. It's cold outside now, and they don't lay as well. Okay, well, during the summer months, here's what people used to do in the old days. They would take those eggs and put them in water glass. and you can have fresh eggs year-round when you take them out of water glass. Furthermore, eggs will keep in cold storage. If you'll store your eggs in your refrigerator or in a cooler somewhere, at somewhere under 40 degrees, they will keep for 6 months like a shot. So the eggs that you're getting in August, September, October, you know, along in there, you stockpile up your eggs for November, December, January, February, and March. How many eggs do you use a month? If you use a dozen a week, you need 4 dozen a month. For 5 months, is 4 fives is 20. You need 20 dozen eggs. And you can cold store those eggs in your refrigerator and keep them through the winter. And you find some little guy like me that you know, said, well, I'll come over once a week and I'll buy 3 dozen eggs from you and I'll pay you $2 a dozen or $2.50 a dozen. You ought to pay this guy a little bit more because, you know, the other day a lady came by and she said I wanted to buy eggs. This is earlier in the spring. And I said, well, I'll take $2 a dozen. One day she came by and she says, but I can buy these eggs in the store for $1 a dozen. I said, well, certainly. You can buy commercial eggs that are fed bypass protein and irradiated for $1 a dozen. I don't deny that. But it costs me $2 a dozen to produce these eggs. You see, I don't feed my chickens GMO corn. I buy feed that costs more money so that I can have clean, wholesome eggs. That's the point of food. And so this lady said, well, I'm not going to pay you $2 a dozen for those eggs. Okay. Because you see, boys and girls, I'm really not interested in selling eggs anyway. I take my eggs and I break them and feed them to my dogs. Or when I've gotten too many eggs, I just break them up and I throw them in the composter and I put them out on the ground. I don't lose anything thereby. And I have this constant supply of eggs year round. I have a constant supply of eggs year round. They're all clean, non-irradiated. There's no GMOs in them. And I've got a clean, wholesome product. And so does anybody else that has a handful of chickens. And all you got to do is go talk to this guy and tell him, hey, I'd like to buy some eggs from you. Let me pay you what it's costing you to produce them. These are just surplus eggs anyway. The guy will more than likely be happy to sell them to you because you want to buy clean, wholesome eggs. And I'm kind of like that. I'm an evangelist. And so if I saw somebody said, well, I'd like to have clean, wholesome eggs, I would sell them to you at cost, $2 a dozen. Be happy to do it. As long as I've got eggs, I'd be happy to sell you those eggs. And I think that that's a good place for you to start looking. Advertise in the Thrifty Nickel and say, gee, you'd like to buy some clean eggs, non-irradiated, no GMOs. And I'll bet you somebody will answer your ad and say, well, yeah, I'd be happy to do that. And that solves that problem, doesn't it? Now you've got clean eggs. Now you've got clean chicken. Now you've got clean hamburger. You've got clean beef. I mean, pretty soon, you know, you can get down to the vegetables. And shortly, you'll have a food supply. I mean, hell, you could be living in Long Island and have a good, clean, healthy food supply. It takes a little work to find it. And in some cities, you know, like Reno, Nevada, they've got a place called Wild Oats. They've got supermarket chains now that are concentrating on delivering organic, non-irradiated, non-GMO, wholesome, clean foods. So if you don't have one right next door to you, concentrate on the Thrifty Nickel, start advertising and looking for one. Hey, I'm running a little behind here. Let me give you a friendly reminder. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to our homeschooling page. That's on the website at georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website, remember, at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. And the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, history, politics, religion, health, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember the website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Now, the background and status of labeling of irradiated foods. The problem with this labeling over here is that everybody knows that if you label this food as GMO, there's 12% of the American public, 12% of us, not a big majority, 12% of us are health food nuts. Now, you got about 300 million people here in the country, so if you just take, let's just do that, take 300 times 0.12, that translates into 36 million people in this country, coast to coast and border to border, that are interested in health foods. Now, to give you an illustration, there's 31 million people in California, 36 million people nationwide are interested in, want to buy, and do eat organic fruits and vegetables, and we don't want irradiated food. 88% of you people out there couldn't care less. 88% of you people out there will eat anything that somebody puts in front of you. 12% of us are a little more picky, a little more finicky, a little more concerned about what we stick into our mouths. And that's a pretty potent, that's a big bunch of people. One person in 10, that's 10%. And so the food industry knows that. And that's why they don't want to label that food, because they know that 36 million of us, if I pick up a can and it says irradiated, I won't buy it. They know that I know, in fact, most of the people that are the real health food nuts, I'm kind of preaching to the choir. I mean, most of you people already know that the egg supply out there isn't fit to eat, and so you don't buy eggs. But in addition to that, when you go to the grocery store, I'm talking about when you go to, oh, say, Kroger's or Safeway, the pineapple that you pick up there, it's a nice-looking pineapple, and you really like to buy it. But it was probably grown with chemical fertilizers, and it's probably got DDT or some other kind of spray because it was produced in the Philippines. And probably it's been irradiated in order to ship it out of the Philippines or certainly out of Hawaii. And so you're a little nervous about that. So you go down to Wild Oats. Now, Wild Oats is a chain of supermarkets that deal in organic foods. And, God, they just charge an arm and a leg. I was in Reno here a couple, 3 weeks ago, and I went out to Wild Oats. And you talk about food inflation. Now, I mean, they get paid a lot of money for that. And, of course, those of us that are interested in good food, you see, instead of spending $10,000 a year on health insurance, we take that $10,000 and we spend that on food. So that's what my wife and I do. So I don't have health insurance, but then I don't need it because I don't get sick. You see, only sick people need health insurance. So since I'm not a sick people, I don't need health insurance. But in order to keep healthy, I have to eat good food. So I'm very cautious about where I eat. So when I get out to Reno or Dallas or someplace, I go look up the local health food store. You know, where can I get the good food that I need to eat in order to keep my body healthy and so on. Okay, now when you go to Wild Oats, now they're going to have eggs in there, and they might be $5 a dozen. I didn't check, but boy, I saw some meat in there. Now the meat's clean, but they charge you a pretty hefty price for it. So let me share with you a couple of thoughts on how it is that you can eat better for less. Eat better for less. Now, I know that most of you don't want to leave Long Island and come out here to Missouri and buy 40 acres out here and raise your own chickens, your own beef, and your own lamb. I understand that. You want to stay in Long Island, and you want to work at the law firm, and you want to make a lot of money, and you want to buy it. And so here's what you do. You head up to upstate New York, and you're going to find that there are some beef growers up there, that there are little guys around you somewhere out in the countryside that raise some chickens. Even in Connecticut, even in those little New England states that have all the populations, you know, in the little towns every 5 miles, there's little rural areas, and there's people out there that have a few chickens. If you just stop and knock on somebody's door and you say, you know, I'm looking for eggs, I'm looking for clean beef, I'm looking for lamb, I'm looking for this, you know, the guy'd say, well, you know, Bob, down the road over here, about a half a mile or a mile and a half, or over here, my friend Tom, who lives over here, he has beef cows and he raises clean beef. He has clean sheep. He has clean chickens. He has, you know, those rural people out there live there. They're not out there by accident. Those people are out there because they want to eat clean, wholesome food too. And so they raise their own. And you city people, if you'll just take a drive out into the countryside and stop and knock on somebody's door, if somebody says, get the hell out of here, you city clown, okay, so why don't you try it 10 times? Knock on 10 doors, and I'll bet you that one time out of 10, you're going to find somebody that says, yes, I know where you can get clean beef. I know where you can get eggs. I know where you can get range-fed chickens, turkeys, and so on. Now, here's the way you handle this. You get down to your local Sears store, and for about $500, you can buy a brand new chest-type freezer. These chest-type freezers are about, oh, I'd say they're 2 feet by maybe 5 feet long. And you stick them typically, you know, in the laundry room, you know, where the washer and dryer is. You know, you find a wall over there and you stick this chest freezer. It holds 500 pounds of frozen food, 500 pounds. It will hold a whole cow. I mean, hold the whole sucker right in there. You can typically put a cow in there, and you take a steer, weighs about 900 to 1,000 pounds. He'll butcher out about 50%, and you got about 400 pounds of meat. And if you got a family of four, that 400 pounds of beef, along with, you know, a dozen chickens, or maybe two dozen chickens, fill that thing up. See? And as you progress along through the years, you're eating down on that beef, you know, you got a little more room for chicken, you got a little more room for this, that, or something else, you know. And pretty soon, and remember I told you about these eggs now. You can preserve eggs in water glass, and you can get water glass at your local drugstore. It's in a powder. You mix it with water. It forms into a gel, and it seals the pores of the egg. Seals it, keeps the oxygen away from the eggs. And so you get a crock. I'll bet you if you went out to a flea market and you just started walking around saying, I'm looking for a crock. And you'll find some old-timer out there that says, yeah, I know what a crock is. See, most of you people in the city, you've never heard that word. It's a crock of bologna. You know, you've heard that. No, it's a crock. It's a stoneware, they call it. Stoneware, it's a pottery thingy. And they come in 5 gallons and 2 gallons and 6 gallons and 8 gallons, and they got a lid on them usually. And it depends upon how many eggs do you want to store. And 20 dozen eggs will fit in probably into about a 3 or 4 gallon crock. Now, it's assuming, of course, that you don't want to cold store them in your refrigerator. But, I mean, if you wanted to put them in a crock, you could put that crock, you know, in your garage. And you put the eggs in there as you're collecting your eggs. You stick your eggs in there. Those eggs will keep. I'll tell you how long they'll keep. I ate eggs that were kept in water glass for 5 years, and they were still good. Now, talk about 100-year-old eggs. Yeah, I guess you could keep eggs for 100 years. It kind of in a state of suspended animation. It's kind of like, you know, they've dug up things like mammoths up in Alaska and Siberia that have been frozen, you know, for 4,000 years since the flood. They were frozen. And they're still good. The meat's still good to eat. And they just cook it up and eat it, and it's still good. See, it's kind of like in a state of suspended animation. How long will frozen meat keep? I don't know. But it'll keep for 3,000 or 4,000 years. We know that. Same thing with eggs. And pretty soon, you'll find that you can provide for yourself in downtown Manhattan. I mean in downtown Cincinnati, in downtown Los Angeles. If you put your mind to it, you can eat clean, healthy, wholesome food. And the reason I bring this to your attention is because this is the way to buy it pretty cheap. Because you buy them the whole cow, and it's better than wholesale. Let me show you what happens to the price of meat. The farmer takes that cow over to the sale barn and he sells it. The guy at the sale barn takes it out to the feedlot and feeds it. The guy at the feedlot takes it over to the slaughterhouse, and they slaughter it, and the guy in the slaughterhouse takes it and sells it to a wholesaler who in turn sells it to a retailer who in turn sells it to you. And every one of those guys that handles that critter takes a little cut. He has to add another 10 or 15% to the price. So if you wanted to find out, you know, well, what are cows and steers and livestock selling for, you go to your local sale barn. Look it up in the yellow pages. Livestock. Look up livestock auctions. And there'll be a livestock auction. Just go to a livestock auction. It'll be once a week. Here are local livestock auctions on Monday. Just walk into the auction. Just sit down. Get yourself a great big Coke and sit down with a bag of popcorn and watch the sale. It's entertaining. And you'll see the prices of the livestock going through there. Now when you go out and talk to this farmer, you know, you're not a total novice. You walk out and talk to the guy and say, hey, you know, if a guy walked up to me and he says, Mr. Gordon, I see you've got cows out there. Yes, sir. Have you got any steers? I do. Would you sell me a steer? Yes, I will. How much do you want for your steer? And I'd tell you. See, and you say, well, would you butcher it for me? And I'd say, well, I could. I'm going to charge you a little extra to do that. But if you want to buy that cow live weight, the farmer will haul it into the processor for you. Just say, hey, listen, what are you going to charge me? Oh, let me give you an idea. There's a guy right here in my local neighborhood. His name is Punch. He's the local trucker. And when I want to move a cow somewhere, I call Punch, and I say, Punch, I need to move this cow or 10 cows or whatever I need to move from here to there. And he charges me $25. $25. So whether I move one cow to Gainesville to the processor or I move 10 cows over to 608 or some other farm, he's going to charge me $25 because it's going to take him about an hour to load that critter, those critters up and to haul it in 10 miles. That's about what it's going to take, an hour. So if he can come out and load up and deliver that in an hour, it's going to cost you about $25, you know, in round numbers. And that farmer, when he's taking a load to the sale barn, he'll tell you, well, next Monday I'll take a load to the sale barn, and I'll take one cow into the processor for you, and there you are with the processor, and there's your beef for the year. And you're buying it right from the farmer. Instead of paying $7 a pound, you'd be paying $3 a pound. Instead of, you know, paying full bore retail, you'll be paying less than wholesale. All right, now that's the way to do that. You want sheep? Same thing. All you got to do is go out here and knock on somebody's door. You don't need to find, you know, a big flock of sheep with 6,000 sheep from some Basque herder out in Idaho. There are people like George Gordon who have 35 sheep up in their pasture. There's people all over Connecticut that have sheep. They'll have 5 or 10, and they'll be happy to sell you one. There's guys with 5, 10, 15 cows. Be happy to sell you a steer. They'll even raise one for you. I mean, you could go to a guy. I used to do this with Passover lambs. I used to say to my brother-in-law, hey, listen, brother-in-law, I need a lamb next April. Would you raise one for me? Yeah, sure, I'll raise one for you. Cost me $100. And he'd custom raise a lamb for me to the specifications that I wanted. And there it is for $100, and you got them. Goats, same thing. You want goats. You know, people from the Middle East like goats. And I've got a student down in Leesburg, Florida, that has 200 goats. He sells 200 goats a year just to Middle Eastern Arabs that live in Tampa, Florida. And they come out to Leesburg and they buy for $100 a piece. I mean, he's got a regular little gold mine out there. And it just makes those Arabs just as happy as a clam at high tide because, see, those people want clean food too. They don't want that crap that comes out of the grocery store. They come out there to this guy's farm and they buy goats from this guy. And you can do that everywhere in America. There isn't any state and any location anywhere in the country that you can't do that. Just get out of downtown Manhattan You're going to have to go, you know, up into Connecticut. You don't have to go very far. Just, you know, get up there into Connecticut and find a little town, get out in the country, get off on some side roads out there. You find a little country place out there. When you see a couple, three cows and some sheep or something out there, stop at that guy's house, knock on his door. All right, now the background of the status of this labeling of irradiated foods. The United States Food and Drug Administration has two functions, evaluation of scientific evidence and regulation of certain foods. It has the primary responsibility of deciding if a new process like food irradiation can be used on foods. So the FDA also sets the minimum labeling standard for all irradiated foods, and the FDA regulates all foods except meat, poultry, and seafood. Now the FDA has approved the following foods for irradiation: spices, herbs, herb teas, pork, wheat, wheat flour, fruits, and vegetables. In 1992, they approved poultry. In 1997, they approved beef. In 2000, they approved eggs in the shell, seeds for sprouting like alfalfa seed. Now, the USDA, that's the U.S. Department of Agriculture, has approved the following foods for irradiation. In 1999, refrigerated or frozen raw beef, pork, lamb, and poultry. 2002, imported fruits and vegetables. And in 2002, meat purchased by the National School Lunch Program. All right. So now if the National School Lunch Program, you send your kid to public school and he's eating in the cafeteria, he's eating irradiated food. Do you want him to do that? So why don't you pack a lunch for your kid and keep him the hell out of the school lunch program? In August of 1999, a food industry coalition asked the FDA to allow irradiation of seeds, sprouts, fresh juices, frozen foods, prepared fresh fruits and vegetables, and luncheon meats. The FDA has not yet decided. Now, organic foods cannot be irradiated. All right. So when we buy foods, we're looking for the organic seal. We're looking for the brand that says organic. Now you know they're not GMO, genetically modified organisms, and they're not irradiated. That's why we health food nuts shop at the health food stores. And I'm about out of time. We'll have to take this up here again next time, this thing called labeling, when we come back. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. Now, The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date, and The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, and good night, friends.